Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everyone, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back again with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. I'm here today with, for the first time, two guests from Florida State University. I have the Director of Academic and Student Services, Michelle Diamante, and the Director of the Bachelor of Fine Arts and Musical Theater Program from the School of Theater, Miss Kate Gelibert. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi. Thanks. Great.
So, I guess I will let you guys decide who answers which questions as we go along, but let's just make this a nice conversation about your program, because it's a robust musical theater program there with more than one degree offered in musical theater. So, if you want to start first, maybe Michelle, you can talk about the two different programs. There's a Bachelor of Music and a Bachelor of Fine Arts. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed. That's one of the things that we consider our strengths here. There's a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Musical Theater, Music Theater, and a Bachelor of Music in Music Theater, and it's all one program. So the freshman class, some of them will be BMs, some of them will be BFAs, but they're all the freshman class in Music Theater.
Great.
And the classes are different. Basically, if you're a Bachelor of Music, you have to, they take all the same performance classes. They're all in dance classes according to their proficiency. They all take the movement classes. They all have their voice lessons and the acting classes and workshops. The difference is in College of Music, the Bachelor of Music kids have to follow the requirements that all music majors have to take. In other words, they have to go to 14 recitals, whereas the School of Theater kids, BFAs, they have to see every season, every show of the season subscription. Those are just like schools or college requirements. The other difference is that the BFAs take theory, but not as much theory as the Bachelor of Music students do. The BFAs take play analysis and directing. The Bachelor of Music take conducting and music theater, music literature, things like that. So they're just kind of sidebar classes that are different, but basically the performance classes are all the same.
So the same program, but sort of divided into, I don't want to say divided, but split into two different schools, two different colleges at the university.
Right.
But they all come together for, we'll call them the core classes, so to speak.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so when a student is applying to music theater at FSU, do they specify whether they want to be BM or BFA, or is that decided?
They do. They do specify whether they want to pursue the Bachelor of Music or the BFA, but the important thing to note is, as an applicant, they don't know everything yet. So students have been known to switch back and forth during the freshman year once they've gotten here and determined that, you know, no, this is where I really should be.
Is the application and audition process the same for both sides of that, for the BM and the BFA?
Yes, it is.
They are.
So the same requirements and everything for the audition?
Yes.
The same audition dates?
Yes.
Okay.
They're all in the same room together.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We don't actually pay attention to which student wants which track until we're after we've made decisions and somebody has to notify them.
Great. So I wanted to clarify all of that right at the top before we go in, because I think that's the biggest question that I always get about FSU is what's the difference between the two, and are they run by the same people, the same faculty, all of that. And basically the answer is it's the same program, just a slightly different specialization within if
yes.
you want to go to the BM. Awesome. So I'm going to now direct a question to Kate, if I may. I always, at this point, ask my guests to give us their elevator speech on the program. So 60 seconds or less, though I don't really time you. give us sort of what the highlights are for the FSU Music Theater program, and you know, tell us why a student should be interested in that program.
What Michelle mentioned is that we are a joint program. I think that's really important, so that we have the resources and the cooperation or collegiality of the College of Music as well as the School of Theater. Mm-hmm. Makes things a lot easier in terms of space and classes. All of our students are guaranteed a 1 hour once a week full voice lesson from the day they start until the day they finish. That's important. The classes, I think, are structured in a very progressive way throughout their matriculation here. I think one of the biggest assets of our program is the alumni connection. We have one of the strongest networks of alumni of any program that I know. The students, when they showcase in New York, normally, under normal circumstances and times, meet 20 years worth of alum that are living and working in New York. Those alum bring their agents and they bring their, you know, master teachers or whatever to the showcase and help these graduating seniors move into the city or, you know, give them advices to different agents, auditions. It's a very, very strong network. We have many of those people come back and teach for us, do a guest spot. In fact, our show that we're doing, our musical Newsies, is being directed and choreographed by one of our alum who was the original dance captain in the Broadway show, Michael Fatica.
Wow.
So we bring alum back as often as we can, which is great for our current students. Did I hit everything, Michelle? I think those are pretty much the strengths. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's take us through a freshman's arriving on campus for their first year. Let's sort of walk through the track that freshman will take through their first year as studying as a musical theater student at FSU.
Well, one of the other bonuses, I guess, is that we require our freshmen to audition for the fall semester of shows that we're doing. So they're being considered for the big musical as well as some of the other straight shows in that semester. So they really hit the ground running for that, as that's the Sunday before classes even start that they do general auditions and then the callbacks all that first week. Typically, the freshmen will take a Movement 1 class with me. They'll take their Acting 1 class with the BFA actors as well. They take a kind of intro to theater, School of Theater class, just the BFAs, not the BMs. They take a Voice 1, the BFAs do. Do the BM?
All of them do. Take
all of them one. Do?
Vocal production, voice is the instrument for the actor.
Right. And then they also are registered. Not only are they taking the Movement 1 class with me, again with the BFA actors, but the music theater kids are over in the School of Dance taking their dance class according to their proficiency. So they may not necessarily be with their freshman class. They are in the beginning ballet class or the intermediate ballet class or contemporary of their proficiency level, as well as a voice lesson once a week. What else?
We have to work in a couple gen eds there.
Right.
A little bit of English, a little bit of math.
Yeah. Being a state university, we are required 30-something hours of general education or liberal studies. So, yeah, it's a pretty busy. Most freshmen come in, 12 to 15 hours, Michelle, something like that. And it's not unusual for our kids to be at 18 hours. Their first semester. Wow. So it's, like I said, they hit the ground running.
I am looking forward to coming up and seeing Newsies in a couple of weeks.
Actually,
one of my freshmen is in. Tegan is in Newsies.
That's right.
Excited.
One of yours.
She was very excited to tell me about that. And she's in the class of the students that I barely ever got to see during the whole process. So I'm excited to go see her.
Good.
So we touched on gen ed. So let's talk about that a little bit more. First, are the gen eds the same as far as requirements for the BM versus BFA students?
They're all the same for all FSU students.
So can you talk a little bit about that?
There's 36 credits required, although we do what we can to sort of ameliorate that a little bit, because a lot of students these days come in with accelerated credit from high school, and every little bit helps. So we count all of the accelerated credit, AP scores of 3 or higher, dual enrollment, we love all of that stuff. So anyone who's listening to this, pay attention to your college credit in high school, because it really does help. But then they're required to do, you know, the standard 2 English, 2 math, humanities, social science, natural science, labs, all of those. And we do have several classes, both the College of Music and the School of Theater have several classes that double dip. So they meet major requirements and liberal studies requirements.
And it's somewhat rare to have a BM music theater degree have that level of built out gen ed requirements, which I think a lot of students, at least a lot of my students this year, are looking for that. So that's really interesting. And I've sent a couple your way because of that. Let's chat now a little bit more about the performance opportunities, because as you mentioned, they can audition right from freshman year, right before they start classes. Can we talk about how many shows a year you're producing and any sort of outside of your main stage, quote unquote, shows that students will be able to audition and perform in?
Our season School of Theater subscription, 4 in the fall, 3 in the spring, I believe. We're working on another kind of student new works thing that's going on. So School of Theater, and plus Michelle can talk to you about the other outside of the actual season subscription. School of Theater has several opportunities. They also encourage, they can audition for the opera, for jazz ensemble. In the School of Dance, many of our kids have danced in MFA dance concerts, even faculty concerts. They can audition there. Also, we have one of the nation's leading film schools, and so a lot of them audition for the film directors there, and for their reels and their movies and their pieces that they do as well. So there's a lot of performing opportunities. You can talk about the outside, the student stuff that they do as well.
Sure. The School of Theater also has quite a few student organizations. There's a student theater organization, there's Rogue Productions, there's White Mouse Productions, there's a couple of sketch comedy groups. All of them probably produce 15 to 30 shows a year. Mm-hmm. So there's always something going on.
Great. Kate, when you mentioned that there's 7, what is the breakdown for musicals versus straight plays?
We do 2 major musicals, one in the fall, one in the spring. And it used to be, years ago, that our big musical was normally in the fall. And then we would do a smaller one in the spring without reference to box office or that kind of thing. It would be more pedagogical. It would be more of something like, let's do Allegro. Nobody's ever done Allegro. Or let's do Green Willow. Or let's do something. But then 2008 hit. And, quite honestly, the musicals are the cash cows. That's really what it's about. So we are pretty much 2 main stage musicals. We're doing Cinderella in the spring. But we are also working to try and get into back the small lab musicals that we can. And there's different opportunities too. Sometimes a grad student will want to do a small musical, a very small musical or something. And again, with this new format for this committee that we're doing, it's the Working Title Committee. It's like a production advisory committee. We're looking to do more readings, more original musical readings and that kind of opportunity, maybe not fully produced, fully big, big stage productions, but read-throughs and sing-throughs and concert versions, things like that, as much as we can.
So when when the students are auditioning for these shows, are auditions open to anyone on campus?
Every member
of the community can audition.
Okay, and so I guess supersedes the question I was about to ask: is are they going up against the MFA acting students for the plays as well? But I guess if everything's open to everyone,
MFA acting students are in the Oslo Conservatory down in Sarasota, so they're not on campus.
Oh, okay.
That's another bonus for the kids too.
That's
that they don't have to compete with them. Yeah.
That is something that I didn't know. So that's great. Yeah. I knew that you guys had that partnership, but I guess that makes sense that they wouldn't be on the other side of the state.
Right.
So obviously the school is a giant university and it comes along with all the benefits of having that there. So can you talk a little bit about opportunities to minor in other things, or even if there's a double major possibility?
The one thing that we often talk about is that it's another bonus for this program is that we are a small program in a large university. It's about 40,000 students at Florida State, right? What was your question again? I forgot.
If we can talk about the opportunities to minor or possibly double major.
Oh, not really, because what we tell the kids are they're pretty much doing a triple major as it is, with all their acting classes, their voice lessons and voice piano and their dance. I mean, it's hard. It's not impossible. It's not completely impossible. And as Michelle said, the more hours or the more AP classes kids come in with, the more opportunity they have for those extra, the extra things that they can do.
I will say that double majoring is probably not.
No.
I've had a number of kids do minors.
Yeah.
We wheel and deal. We, at advising, basically, I ask them what they want to do, and then we figure out a way to make that happen. Sometimes they have to take some CLEP exams. Sometimes they have to go to school in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, we can make what they want happen.
That's great. That's great. And I think you already touched on this, that you're able to sort of level up in the dance classes when you get there. Do you also allow students to test out of things like music theory and things like that?
They do have to take a theory placement test, but when they take theory here in the College of Music, they're taking theory with instrument performance majors, so it's really hard to test out of it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And can we expand a little bit on the dance program as well? Because that's a big question with a lot of my students, specifically in this year. I have a lot of dancers in my group, not just the testing out or leveling up, I should say, but what does the dance training look like throughout the 4 years?
They have movement classes with me. Now, those classes are according to their year. Okay, so movement one, all the freshmen take it with the BFA actors. Movement two is the second year, same thing. That's the beginning. Movement one is more of a composition, creative composition kind of class.
Mm-hmm.
Movement two is an exposure to different techniques of dance, mm-hmm. and that's sophomore year. By their junior year, they go into the spring semester with me, which is a dance workshop, and that's 4 days a week, and it's technique. Very eclectic, but it's all technique. They do that their junior and senior year of spring semester. And senior year, they also take the movement three with me, which is like a rep class, a ballet bar and then repertory.
So in addition to all those other performance opportunities that you just spoke about with the seven shows a year and the student-led opportunities, let's talk about senior year and what FSU does as far as a senior showcase or an introduction into the industry.
The showcase counts actually as their exit jury. They jury every single semester. And when we started showcase back in 1999, we decided it would be a perfect way for them to do the exit jury. So they have to be in good standing in terms of all their juries that they've done throughout the year. They put it together themselves. They run the material by us, but they put it together. And this is our new director of the Bachelor of Music Theater program, Elisa Hauser, is now my colleague in my partner in crime, so to speak. Yeah, that we run this program together. We work with them, but they basically put it together, choosing some solos, duets, whatever, depending on how many are in the senior class. We take them to New York. We do it down here in Tallahassee at about two or three performances here. Then we take it to New York, and we've been traditionally at the Ailey Theater for a number of years. And that's where the alumni network comes in, the FSU Mafia, as we call it, come to both performances or come to the performance they can. Some of them bring their agents, whatever. And we do two performances on a Monday, and have a big reception afterwards where the kids can actually meet different alumni, reconnect with some of the alumni, where we give them their the materials of agents' requests for headshots and resumes or interviews or things like that. Mm. Unfortunately, we've lived in COVID for 2 years now, so what we did The first year, the bottom dropped out of those seniors. That was just when everybody, we thought we were all coming back after spring break, and we didn't. And then last year, we did a film. We got hired a film crew to come and do it, and it was lovely. It was beautiful. It was still had some limitations because they had to wear masks for their group numbers, but for their solos at least, we unmasked and, you know, had to do all the protocol of cleaning out the theater. It was a 12-hour day. It was huge. But it was beautiful. It served them very, very well. And we're keeping our fingers crossed for this year that we're going to be able to go back to New York and do what we've done. It's going to be a little different this year, but we're hoping to pick it up and start again.
Awesome. So if we can switch gears now and start talking a little bit about, instead of just the program, let's talk about the area and sort of what student life looks like. Because and I would normally say, you know, eventually the students want to venture off campus. But as far as downtown Tallahassee goes, that pretty much is the campus of FSU. But if we can talk a little bit about student life and what it's like to be a student there.
Well, it is Tallahassee, Florida. And the good news is, to the north of us is Atlanta, to the east of us is Jacksonville, to the west is New Orleans, and south Orlando, you guys, right? There's three universities here, Florida A&M, TCC, and FSU, and then the state capitol. I mean, that's kind of it. We are pretty much the theater. I mean, we're pretty much what happens. We do have what's called opening nights, where a lot of professional companies, dance companies, musicians, people come in over a period of time. It used to be just the month of February, but now it's spread out pretty much over the year to see professional theater or see professional music, you know, things being performed. Most of the time, the kids have that opportunity of the big university. They can go to the football games. We finally won one this weekend, I know. But they can go to the football games. They can go to the basketball games. There is some Greek life that some of our kids participate in. But it is Tallahassee. It's a small southern town, you know, mm-hmm. in North Florida. I've lived here for a very long time, and you know, it's fine. It's a great place to be. Yeah.
I just recently recorded an episode with UCF, and we sort of said, you know, the university is so big that it's a city unto itself, and there's plenty of things to do as far as restaurants and entertainment and things all over, because it's the whole city is geared toward the college life and the college students. So there's lots to do there.
Right.
So, Michelle, we're about to start talking about the auditions, and you sort of run the show when it comes to the applications and auditions. So I'd like to hear from you. You mentioned before we started recording that you're doing things a little differently this year, and I would love to hear all about that.
So we learned a few things last year when we had to do everything over Zoom, and we learned a little bit about what we can find out about an applicant and a little bit about what we can't. So this year we are sticking with the same pre-screen requirements, and we do the common pre-screen. So students will submit their pre-screen materials with their application, and then they will be viewed, and a student will, if they pass the pre-screen, they will be invited to do a Zoom audition with us. They'll be emailed dance videos choreographed by Kate, a ballet combination and a music theater combination, to record and then send back to us. And then during the Zoom audition, they will do their two songs and their monologue. Mm-hmm. Once we hear all of those, the students who we would like to see again will be invited to campus. We expect to invite 40 to 50 students to campus for a live audition with a dance call with Kate, and then sing live and do their monologues live, take a tour of campus, see Cinderella, a more robust experience than we've had in the past.
a three-step process. It's similar to what Juilliard does with narrowing it down twice. And you mentioned the pre-screen requirements, and there are three words about your pre-screen requirements that has struck fear into the hearts of many of my students this year, and that is required ballet supplement. In many of the schools, the ballet supplement is optional, but you require that. So that has been translated, of course, into the students' minds that you rely heavily on the dance audition portion of your audition. Can you speak to that a little bit for me?
Well, it counts, obviously, but it doesn't weigh in more heavily than the other areas. I would say that we look at all three areas equally. Mm. But it's one piece of information that we need to consider a whole candidate.
And any words of advice or wisdom for those students who may be great musical theater and jazz movers but are terrified of ballet technique?
You know, I would tell them, if they can, to find a studio in town. Call, investigate, go watch a class. Ask if they have an adult ballet, beginning ballet class. Make sure the studio isn't recital oriented, you know, that's all they're gearing to, is those little children with their recitals and their costumes and all that.
Good luck finding one of those.
I know, but a decent adult ballet class, and just tell them to know that for every class that they take, it's not that we expect them to become diva dancers, right? But every class they take helps. Every class they take gives them a little bit more vocabulary, a little bit more technique, a little bit more of what they can transfer into all the other different styles and disciplines of dance. It's the foundation, it's the mother. There's no getting around that. But also tell your students that we have accepted people into our program who could not literally stand in first position. I mean, but what the live audition shows me, which is what Michelle was talking about, whether I think they're trainable or not, whether I think they can, given the beginning ballet classes or given the beginning, that they can get to a point where they can stand on their own two feet in a cattle call to some degree, if that makes sense.
Yes, and I'm so glad to hear you say those things, because as many times as I will say it, it's nice to hear it directly from you.
One of the things that we recognize is that 4 years is only so long. So, you know, it's a combination of strengths and weaknesses, and they need to be able to grow. So if they're not really strong dancers, they need to have the time and the bandwidth to be able to develop that skill.
Yeah, great. Let's talk numbers a little bit. How many pre-screens do you see every year on average?
Between acting and music theater, because I haven't broken them out, about 1,100.
That's a lot. And, you said this year things are run a little differently. So out of the initial pre-screens, how many are you moving forward into that next step Zoom audition?
Well, it depends on what we see, but I expect 200 to 250.
And then down again to 50 for the final audition. And then what is the size of the incoming class that you aim for?
Well, we aim for a class of 8, but we will accept 16 to 20 to yield 8.
And that makes me shudder when she says that. It scares me to death that might happen, because that's too big for us. It's really too big. But we know that they're going to get other offers, and that there's going to be other, you know, so she has to convince me every year to do that, because I want to stop at 14. I really want to stop at 14, but
it happens at every school. I mean, yep. I hear everyone say pretty much the same thing. I mean, there's some schools that are offering 60 to get to 20. But I will say that there are a couple that, especially last year, expected 20 and they have 32.
Whoa.
When you say 8, is there a breakdown between BFA and BM?
No.
No.
Not at all.
And that is 8 musical theater performers.
Correct. Exactly. And we don't even really look at, you know, we don't look at, oh, we need tenors, or we need sopranos, or we need ingenues, or we need character. If that happens, that's great. You know, I mean, if, and, you know, I will have our music director say, we have no tenors, Kate, and well, we'll see, you know, I mean, but we're looking at the best possible kids that we can find.
Right. We're looking at for 8 students that, when we look at them with what we do, we feel like after 4 years they will be able to work in the industry, and that can look a lot of different ways. Yeah. We're not choosing a class to cast our shows.
Right, right. So you also obviously then have to use a wait list. And can we chat a little bit about how that wait list works for you guys? Is it ranked, or do you sort of just look to the wait list to fill a need as one student declines?
It's not ranked. We hate a wait list, just to be upfront. We really hate a wait list.
Nobody likes a wait list. The students don't like the wait list either, I promise.
And I'm sure parents don't like it either. That's what, yeah.
I always feel good and bad when I have to make those calls, just simply because I know that the student in question has chosen another school and I'm about to kind of shake up their world a little bit. Mm-hmm. But no, the wait list is not ranked. When there's an opening, we have a conversation and we talk about them the same way we did when we made the decisions.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you find you go to that wait list, and how deep do we go into that wait list?
That depends. It really depends on the year. I mean, sometimes we have gotten almost all of the people, you know, that we selected, whatever, and haven't needed the wait list, so to speak. And that's why I have vacillated every year about whether we really have a wait list or not. You know, if we, what I argue with Michelle all the time, if we have 14, we don't need a wait list, you know, because I know I'm not going to get all those 14. And then she gets really pissed off at me, or I'm sorry, upset with me. You're going to edit that, aren't you?
Absolutely not. This is a PG-13 show today, kids. Sorry about that.
Right, right.
I'm actually glad to hear you say those things, because I think I try to tell my students and the parents that too. You know, there really are no rules. And there's not something that you can say, oh, well, they always go really deep into their wait list, or, oh, you know, their wait list never moves. Because that's...
Exactly.
It's there's no rules like that, and you can't plan like on things like that. And so often, the parents, especially the really good... momagers, the manager mothers, that want to plan ahead right down to the letter, you know, or right down to the minute, will think about things like that. And that's not something that you can really rely on at all. So I'm glad you're actually the first person to say those things on one of these episodes. So I'm happy to hear that. Let's go back for a moment now and talk about some notable alum or faculty, because I know there's several.
Boy. Well, I guess Montego Glover is our Tony nominee for Memphis. Mm-hmm. And has been working steadily. We have several, Makia Cox and Emmy Buckner, who are out in LA, been doing television out there. Mm-hmm. Darren Baggert is a Tony Award winning producer. And a steady handful of alum that are continuously either in tours, on Broadway, working regionally. We have a lot of alum too that have gone into academia at Elon College. Julio Augustin, and at Shenandoah, Kevin Covert, at Florida Atlantic, Lynn McNutt. We've had a lot of our alum going lots of different directions after a performing career, going into academia, or after living in New York, changing coasts and going out to do the television and film industry. And like I said before, we try to bring them back as often as we can to talk to our kids, to tell them what their journey was like. And they're all different. That's what's exciting about it as well, is they all are different journeys.
And even though they're all different, they all have shown some level of success after leaving your program. And if you had to say, and this might be a difficult question, if you had to name one quality that they all possessed that sort of contributed to that success, what would you say that was?
I would hope that it is they're good people. Just at heart, they're good people. This industry, this can be so cutthroat, and it can be so toxic in some ways. our kids, when they're here, they're fighting for the same parts, they're fighting for the roles, they're doing their very best audition that they can. At the end of the day, when the shows are cast, and after the heartbreak or the whatever, deep breaths are taken, and they are there to support each other. And I think they take that out into the real world and live by that, because it's hard. Well, you know, it's a terrifying, difficult profession. And there's a lot of letdown. There's a lot of disappointment. But the more support and the more goodness you can have with it, I think this sounds so Pollyanna, but I mean, it's just, I think it's really true. I think our kids, our students and our alum are supportive and basically good people, if that makes any sense at all.
So basically you're looking for good people to audition for your program to get accepted into FSU.
I think so, sure.
We are.
And what are some words of wisdom or advice you can give students who are applying to your program, and how they can best show you that they are good people and to get accepted to your program?
Just to show us themselves. Yeah, don't try to, I don't want to say don't try to act, you know, don't try to perform. Because it's something that I'm assuming they love to do, then we need to see that they're doing that because that makes them happy. That's the happiest they are when they're doing, when they're singing, when they're doing a monologue, when they're dancing, that kind of thing. To be themselves and to show us a little bit about themselves.
And Michelle, if anyone listening to this has some more questions or they want to look further into FSU, what's the best way they can get in touch?
Best way is to email me. It's mdiamonte@fsu.edu.
Great. And I will continue, of course, as always, to send my students to FSU and to look at your program. It is probably, I would say, one of the most sought-after programs, especially here in Florida, but it's on a lot of my kids' top list this year. So I'm very excited to see how they do with auditions this year. And I just want to thank both of you once again for coming to sit down with me today and share more about your program.
Thank you so much for asking us.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us. And we're excited to see your kids.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I will see you both real soon. I think we're both going to be at the Florida Theater Conference.
We were last time.
I'll be there. We'll see you then. All right. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
ladies.
Tim.
Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.